Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle here. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. You got to check them out for all your RV wants and needs in Happy Valley. Once again, GoPSURV.com. Look at them for the blue-white game coming up this spring. Look at them for the early part of the 2019 season as well. I've experienced it. I think it's an awesome thing, an awesome experience for anybody who enjoys tailgating, which if you don't enjoy tailgating, I don't want to say just stop listening to us right now, but keep listening, but start to enjoy tailgating. Let's put it that way. As we mentioned, January enrollees, they're starting classes today on Monday. There is a list of 12. I just want to roll through these guys and just kind of reassess the prospects that they are and then look at, you know, where they could fit in the depth chart and who might have a shot to benefit from the winter strength and conditioning, the spring practice, and being able to get that head start, which more and more, it's not much of a head start at all. I think if you're starting in June, you're almost surprised. They've got, 19 commits so far, and 12 of them are starting in January.
11, and then one's a walk-on. Isaac Roemery is where that 12 comes from.
Okay, so we got 11 scholarship.
Yep.
We'll change that to 11. I don't know. But still, to have that many kids, and you know, you're going back to the 2018 class, what made that group so good was obviously it's a high level of talent. You know, it's a top five, top 10 class in the country. So you knew it's good. You knew it was deep. But then they showed up in January, in May, in early June, and then June. They showed up ready for business. And I think that attitude has rolled over into 2019. And clearly it's an approach from Penn State's recruiting staff to get these guys ready. And I think having the 4-game redshirt rule changes that a little bit, but I think this is serious business for Penn State to get these guys on campus earlier. And you're starting to see that pay off in this class now too, with 11 in January.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think that a couple of things come to mind here. First off, some guys would love to do this but can't because their high school doesn't allow it. Some guys, like a Noah Kane, for example, went to IMG Academy with set intentions of early enrolling at the school of his choice because that's how IMG guys usually do it. And then you have guys that either decided somewhere throughout the process that they wanted to get there early or Penn State talked them into it. So overall, the numbers are huge. It's very good for Penn State.
So looking down through the list, we'll go down through one player at a time. Brandon Smith is the guy that intrigues me the most in terms of what he can accomplish in year one on campus because he shows up at 6'4", 6'5", 230 pounds. You see the pictures of him coming from the Under Armour game in Orlando, and I know that his physique and the way that he moves was something that stood out to coaches and observers down there. He's a really interesting guy at a really interesting position now. Somebody who, you know, you look at the way they used Micah Parsons as a freshman. He's another guy who showed up last January. It seems like maybe Smith can be an impactful guy, even if he's not a starter. He's a guy that you create reps for. He's a guy that maybe midway through his true freshman year, you start to see him play more and more and more and do some really good things. And I think it's a really exciting prospect where Penn State is at in its linebacker recruiting and what they've got coming onto the field in 2019. There's a lot of really young talent that can make a big difference.
Yeah, it's a really impressive group. There's no question about that. I mean, I think that, you know, everyone expected Micah Parsons to maybe make more of an impact sooner than what he ultimately ended up doing, but it ended up working out pretty well. I still am hung up on the quote from Brent Pry when he said, yeah, well, he asked to evaluate Parsons' season. He said, well, I think it tells you all you need to know that he only started one game but led the team in tackles. And the question becomes, well, why do you do that? I'm pretty sure you're the one that controls that. Yeah. So that they've still hung up on that. But in all seriousness, I mean, the Lions lose Cole Farmer and they'll have to replace him probably probably with Mike as a starter, presumably, considering he was a starter by rep count at any rate toward the end of the season there. So, you know, is there a role for Brandon Smith? I certainly think there is, beyond the four games that he'll play in due to the new NCAA rule. So he is a tremendous talent, and, you know, you can say a lot about Penn State struggling with defensive tackle recruiting, but linebacker was an area they were struggling in. They have fixed that in a big way the last couple classes.
And it's interesting, you know, Brandon Smith, a long, rangy, physical, athletic linebacker. That's exactly the way that Cam Brown has looked this season. So it'd be to see Brandon Smith maybe slot in behind Cam Brown mm-hmm. and play a similar role. They used him a lot in space. You saw him out in covers. It was a real Swiss Army knife type situation. Brandon Smith could do the same thing. How they handle that, they're going to go too deep, a really talented too deep on that depth chart, including Brandon Smith. Adisa Isaac, 6'5", 220-ish. He looks and plays bigger than that, though. You look down through, you know, you look at, let's say, a guy like Shane Simmons, who the knock on him was functional strength and physical play. That's what kind of, if you remember, as he got to the tail end of that recruiting cycle, he started to lose some points with because of those things, and then ended up needing a little bit of time to develop. Isaac is stronger and more physical and doesn't look like he's got that physique. Like, I think once he adds a little bit of weight, he's going to be a really interesting player. I think you can draw some similarities to Jason Owe, but Adisa Isaac, a huge late get here. I don't know that he factors in, kind of like Jason Owe. Jason Owe will factor in 2019, absolutely. I don't know if Adisa Isaac will factor in 2019, but certainly 2020.
For sure, no question about it. I mean, I think he's a guy that definitely a good barometer is, you know, with Jason Owe, like you just said, maybe Etor Grossmontos as well. Those two guys, Etor not maybe so much as Owe, but came in about the same weight as Isaac is going to, and he needs to add weight. There's no question about that. I mean, he's a thin guy, but he has the frame to do it. If he does it, you could see him, I think, maybe have a couple sacks in 2018 the way Jason Owe did. Maybe not. Maybe he'll need a couple years to develop. It's not like every defensive lineman can commit and do that. So we'll see, but certainly he has all of the things you're looking for in a defensive lineman when you get him on campus.
I think Grossmontos is a better comparison for Adisa Isaac because even if he's on the skinny side right now, he doesn't look like that when he's on the field. And I think that's one thing about Etor Grossmontos. He plays bigger than he actually is. Noah Kane, another big late signing. I'm curious to see where that Thunder approach mixes in with Ricky Slade and Devin Ford, and what he can do as he gets on campus to work on speed or to work on whatever. But I 100% anticipate that Noah Kane will be a first-year impact guy in some way, shape, or form. They have to mix and match the running backs a little bit. I think you could see 2019 be the year that your number one running back, there's a lot smaller difference between number one and number two and number three. You're going to see a true maybe triple-headed attack. You haven't really seen that under James Franklin because they had Saquon Barkley right away. Then Miles Sanders stepped into that role last season. You're going to have a less clear-cut number one, mm-hmm. and you're going to have some really talented number two and number three. I do think that Kane and Devin Ford will both burn their red shirts as freshmen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with Miles Sanders leaving, the opportunity for those guys is there, no question. And I guess the big one in my mind now is how much does Ricky Ronnie get those two plus Ricky Slade plus Journey Brown the ball. I mean, there's four very talented guys in that room right now. My suspicion is that Ford's the outside looking in guy just because he's arriving late, which maybe isn't fair, but he's going to have less chance to prove early what kind of reps he deserves, whereas Noah Kane's going to have all winter and spring before summer to do that. Slade is a presumed starter, so that'll take care of itself. And then Brown's going to be able to mix in with that speed as well. So these are guys that, yeah, should all certainly play in 2019 for sure.
We're looking at Penn State's January enrollees here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Lance Dixon, another guy, an extremely good athlete. I think there's a little fatigue when it comes to recruiting these hybrid linebacker guys who haven't been true linebackers for a long time. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think Lance Dixon was a 2-year starter at linebacker in high school in Michigan.
Right. Yeah.
But he is a lot different than if you look back at, say, Braylon Faison Walden, for example, Koa Farmer, for example. He's definitely as athletic as Koa Farmer was as a high school player, except he's got actual linebacker experience he's carrying into the year. I am as dubious as anybody as far as recruiting hybrid type players to play linebacker.
Yeah.
But I do think Lance Dixon is very different.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think that we probably said the same thing about some of these other guys that you just rattled off, though, and it maybe hasn't worked out exactly the way Penn State hoped for it to. But
I think if you,
Dixon's a different guy, man.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I think in general, I feel like you either are a linebacker or you aren't.
Right.
You know, like that position's not for the faint of heart. To be able to diagnose, plant, and fill a gap and that kind of thing. If you haven't played that position in high school very much, how are you going to learn how to play it at a high level
right.
in college? So that's kind of where I come from. But Dixon has done it. He is also a tremendous athlete. He's going to be a guy who can cover a lot of ground. I think his upside, his future is very, very bright. Obviously, enrolling in January helps him. I don't think he's a factor in 2019. I'm not sure if he's a starting type factor in 2020 either. But beyond that, you could see him make a big impact as we move along. Just to kind of rattle off a few more, we're starting to run out of time. But Tyler Rudolph, I don't think we talk about him enough as far as what he's capable of doing. He's built to play the safety position. He comes in physically ready to do that, can play special teams. I don't know. I think there's a chance that we see him burn his redshirt, maybe an outside shot at that. Both the quarterbacks enrolling in January, Michael Johnson Jr., Taquan Roberson, a long road ahead. You're going to be watching these guys side by side for a while, wondering who, if either of them, is on the outside looking in when that job does open up in the future and if they end up sticking around.
Yeah.
Keaton Ellis, the local kid from State College, you saw his stock go up tremendously late in the cycle, I think for good reason. A really good player, a guy who has an outside shot, again, being at the cornerback position so far away from the ball, something James Franklin talks about often. He has a chance to play as a freshman. Anthony Wigan, you mentioned him earlier in the show. That tackle depth chart's pretty wide open. I'll be curious to see if him coming in at 6'6", 300 pounds, is able to make an impact right away. Marquise Wilson, one of three cornerbacks in this class standing over 6 feet tall, really good player when the ball is in the air, and Penn State could use that. I suspect he needs to add some functional strength before we see him on the field. Brenton Strange, the tight end. You don't usually expect a tight end to make an impact as a freshman. Pat Freiermuth was the exception to the rule.
Yeah, I mean, I think Penn State is thrilled that it picked up a commitment from Brenton Strange, but to me, it's very difficult to foresee him playing in year one. Obviously, Freiermuth will take a lot of the reps. Some of these other guys will be back as well. So it's a good class. So if you can get half of these guys, or maybe even 60% of them on the field in year one, I think you'll be thrilled.
There you go. Penn State's January enrollees. They're on campus now. Expect to hear from them winter strength and conditioning and in spring practice. Penn State Hoops coming up right after this. Jeff Brown joins us.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.